it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Now, Mike Vrabel is now at the podium, having some live stream issues on the Titans end, so we're not able to carry that. But once we do get that, we will get you to Mike Vrabel and Will Levis live and in, as close to it in its entirety as we possibly can. But there was some news, some Titans news today. Jahleel Johnson, we're familiar with the name. Yeah. Defensive tackle, was with the Titans, was waived here a couple weeks ago. And when he was waived, he tweeted out, "They're so worried about trying to fix the defense when we're not the problem. Effing put the tape on and watch." And then he sent out a second tweet that was, "Must have been so great to be traded to a 9-1 team, 9-2 team. After this team." So basically just going on Twitter and very publicly trashing the Titans right after he was waived. Well, he was just added back into, was it practice squad? Let me pull up this note.
He said from, the 53-man
signed
roster.
To the active roster, Jahleel Johnson.
Put the tape on. He's
put the
in
tape
there.
On. He
I guess
yeah,
they did put the
tape
on. And say, wow, I mean, I guess
hey,
you're
yeah,
right,
you
Jahleel.
Ain't lying. Yeah, you're right, Jahleel. My bad.
And this team's not going to live and die by Jahleel Johnson. This team's not going to win or lose because of Jahleel Johnson. But kind of an odd, strange move from a head coach and a franchise that claims to value and covet locker room and culture and guys that want to be here, only having guys that want to be here, bringing back a guy that maybe kind of publicly dogged you on social media.
He probably wanted to be here, but they felt different. And he was like, "Man, I'm not the problem. We're not the problem. You're cutting the wrong guy."
Right.
You know? And then sort of alluded to, "Hey, it must be nice getting traded to a 9-1 team." Kevin Byard.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, wow.
Like, you should have traded me and Kevin Byard.
But Mike Vrabel was asked about it. This is what Mike Vrabel had to say.
The door. What kind of conversation do you have with him as he comes back?
Well, we had a conversation, and obviously Jahleel, I would say that's out of character for Jahleel. I've enjoyed the time that he was here. Getting to know him through the offseason and camp and his professionalism, and obviously he was frustrated. I think we all at times get frustrated, and that's how he chose to let that emotion out. Probably not the way that we would recommend it, and he knows that. But again, we all get frustrated at times, and I don't think anybody's immune to that. So I know who Jahleel is, and I'm comfortable that he'll give us everything that he has.
I'll take his word for it.
Hey, we need.
There's
we
so
need
many
to see
bigger
some players.
Fish that this team needs
we
to
just
bring.
Need some players.
And you know Mike Vrabel. He's not going to bring somebody on that he, for a borderline spot.
Yeah.
Unless Jahleel Johnson is way better than I think he is. I mean, he's lucky to be in the league, but I'm sure there's some other people that are probably close. Mm-hmm. So Vrabel is given the benefit of the doubt. You know, he doesn't like non-team guys, mm-mm. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, take it for what it's worth, and that's why it's just best when you leave a team, try not to burn the bridge too much or try not to burn it at all. Just go about your merry way. And, if you felt slighted in any way, it'll show up. It either what they were saying turns out to be true or what they were saying turned out to be not true. So, obviously, he's back. So
he's back. Another thing that Mike Vrabel stated in his press conference, again, having some technical issues, so not able to carry that live, but we'll get as many clips as possible to you, is the run defense against the Indianapolis Colts. Of course, last time the Titans faced the Colts this season, they let Zach Moss run all over them. I mean, I believe it was Jeffrey Simmons that said after the game, "Man, he looked like Le'Veon Bell out there." And I'm thinking, it's Zach Moss. No disrespect to Zach Moss. He's no Le'Veon Bell. But it's also some news that came out yesterday and then some updated news that are coming out today. Per Ian Rappaport, Jonathan Taylor is expected to land on IR. He's had surgery on his thumb, been dealing with a thumb injury. Jonathan Taylor had a big week last week. Mm. Over 90 yards, 2 touchdowns. When I first saw that, my first thought was, don't care about Jonathan Taylor because it's Zach Moss. Zach Moss is the one that worries me because he was the one that ran all over the Titans last time they faced each other. But Mike Vrabel was asked about the adjustments, changes that they're going to make, their defensive approach to this Indianapolis Colts run game this go-around. This was Mike Vrabel.
Look at is just the, you know, anytime you have a 60-yarder or whatever it was, you know, there's that's gonna affect the overall run defense. I wouldn't say that it was all bad. There's a lot of, you know, no gains. There's some ones and there's some twos. And then there's some, you know, there's some loose ones. And certainly the X play there on short yardage was one of those, and it was a big one. So, again, we know that this team is an excellent, they're really good up front. I think they play well together. I think they work well in combination. Good scheme. And they're effective running the football, and so we'll have to be really good. We'll have to, you know, be able to defend, you know, some of those shots that we got last time, and, you know, and make sure that the quarterback is not creating loose plays.
Jonathan Taylor or not, I'm concerned about this Titans run defense.
Well, I mean, you should. Zach Moss is averaging 4.8 yards a carry. Running players aren't good until they show you they're good. And, you know, Simmons saying that about Zach Moss, yes, it's a laugh, it's funny, but Zach Moss is a good back.
Yeah.
You know, and he's proven it. When he's got opportunities to run the football, his days in Buffalo, for whatever it was, Buffalo don't run the football. We know that. Their premium on running backs is low as just about any other team.
I think they're doing a disservice to themselves.
Exactly,
by not.
But so you can't quite look at, you know, even though his Buffalo days, you know, he averaged for his career at Buffalo over 4 yards per carry. This is a good back. This is a good offensive line. Both backs are averaging over 4 yards per carry. Both backs, I believe, have over, well, I know Zach Moss has, close to 700 yards, and I think Taylor has around four, somewhere around there. So
14.
So this is a good running team. Not just the backs. These offensive linemen do a good job at run blocking.
And Gardner Minshew is a pretty good passer.
Yeah, and Gardner Minshew is your quintessential backup quarterback. He's like the Fitzpatrick. You know, he comes in and He can do some good things, but it can't be on his back. He benefits greatly because of their run game and their offensive line, where he doesn't have to win football games.
Will Levis is up at the podium, so we will send it over to Will Levis now.
Execute it, and then for us to nail the field goal, I mean, that felt awesome going to the locker room, and it sucks that we weren't able to kind of carry that over into the second half and keep things rolling, but there's a lot of good things to take, especially from that first half. And when there are four newer guys in the huddle like that, it makes it feel, you know, that much better.
Arden has said he really liked how you came in the circle and you broke him down and you told him about dogs and playing like dogs. You know, for you as a younger guy, like, where does that comfort level and that confidence come from to be able to tell all these veterans what you told them?
I think I'm still trying to figure out my leadership style. Like, I'm slowly, I guess, kind of feeling out my involvement in that area. But I mean, I'm just trying to be myself and speaking from the heart and speaking in a way that I feel like could bring others up, and try not to be corny and just be authentic, and that's all I can be. So just try to give them a little message, and hopefully it gets through to some guys.
Was there a point where you felt comfortable enough to do that, or has it just been a gradual process?
I think this week, actually, a couple of teammates, like, even helped me, like pushing me on, like, hey, break us down, like, get us going, like, and to hear that from guys and to know that, like, they're pushing me to be that in that more type of role, that helped me a lot. But I think it's just a slow process of, you know, figuring out my style of leadership and being authentic and doing whatever I can to get the guys ready to go out and play.
What did you think about the push you do?
Arden was one of those guys in the locker room that day, but even throughout the week, like, with breaking down stuff and communicating and getting the guys together. Coach Vrabel made it a big emphasis after, you know, team periods to get the whole offense together and run through the tape and evaluate it right there on the field for the first time, just to kind of get the corrections and the knee-jerk reactions to the play. And then, you know, we watch it again when we go back. But I think that translated into the game well, and that I was able to communicate a little more comfortably with all the different position groups. So just got to keep working on that.
Think about any of that stuff ahead of time, like the night before at the hotel, if I had a chance to talk, this is what I say, or driving, or is it spur of the moment?
Sometimes. I think it wasn't spur of the moment that day. Like, I think that morning, I knew that if I had the opportunity to come and say a message, like, I knew what I was going to say. So I had the opportunity to. I was looking to take that opportunity when it happened, and I'm glad I did get the opportunity.
From a guy like DeAndre, just such a veteran in the league, it's his first year here with this team, but I feel like you guys have built that connection from the get-go. What did he talk to you?
Yeah, I mean, he is just like, you know, why I love, you know, Coach Vrabel so much is that, you know, he pushes all of us, and that standard that he holds for us is even higher than the standards that we hold for ourselves, which that's what you look for in a coach. And that's the same thing with DeAndre. Like, I think maybe the first couple of weeks he gave me a little leeway, but now it's like I got to be on my stuff, and if I miss something and I miss him, he'll let me know. And, you know, I'm going to do my best to not make it happen the next time, or to make it happen the next time. But I love my relationship with him, and we're able to speak with each other freely, and I trust what he sees, and we got to make sure that we're on a similar level so that I can get him the ball more.
He showed a small social media clip to the defense, the mac and cheese thing. I don't know if you heard
of it. Oh, yeah.
But it was a big hit.
Yeah.
And really hit the theme and was sticky. But I asked him if he ever falls flat on his face, and he said plenty of times he has to say, like, it's okay to laugh. That was meant to be a joke.
Yeah.
You remember any times where he put something up and got, like, a zero reaction? And
No, I think Coach does a good job of bringing up clips that are relative to what's going on. And that one was, I think someone came up to Thanksgiving dinner making their own mac and cheese, and that didn't fly with Mama, and she let her know. And so that kind of was, in relationship to what was going on with us, was to not go on and do our own stuff and to play together as a team. And then I kind of took that, and my message to the guys was, sure, like, don't do your own thing, but, you know, be you. Like, be that dog you got inside of you. I felt like in the last few weeks we'd lost that kind of swagger that we had, and we got to be walking around the field knowing that we got it. And feel like we got some of that energy this past Sunday. We got to keep it going.
How much fun is it when there's a laugh moment like that that makes the point?
Yeah, and it helps you get through the days, you know, and just you need those laughs. And Coach Frapes does a good job of mixing them in when it's least expected too.
You're indoors this week, but have you ever been told that you're, like, unusually comfortable playing in the cold? I see you out here with no pants, no sleeves. You said you sweat a lot during training camp when you're hot. Is that just, like, natural for you, cold weather?
I'm more comfortable sleeveless. Like, I don't know, like, wearing a long sleeve when I'm throwing and stuff just doesn't feel the same. But I try to go sleeveless whenever I can. But I think it's a product of where I'm from, like, growing up in the Northeast. Like, I'm not afraid of the cold. But, yeah, if it gets below, like, 20, you might see me in a long sleeve, but we'll see. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Will. No pants, Will Levis at practice. Exactly. My goodness.
Will Levis ain't got no pants.
And
Will,
no pants.
This is a family program.
This is PG, man. PG.
There was one thing that he said there about taking on more of a leadership role. I think that's a really important aspect of a starting quarterback role, especially when you're kind of thrust into it in the middle of the season unexpectedly.
Yeah, but it's something that has to come naturally. It can't be forced, and Will, you know, address that somewhat. He's just being himself. You know, leadership, there's not one leadership style. There are several different leadership styles. One may work for one person, it may not work for another. He said, I'm trying to find my way through this, and he's going to continue to try to find his way through this throughout this season and even next season, because the roster's going to change even more. There's going to be a bunch of new guys, so he's going to have to figure out what leadership style is best for him to get across what he needs to get across for the team.
There were two things that I liked about that answer. Number one, he used the word authentic, because there have been guys, I'm sure you've seen them.
Oh, yeah.
They come in, and they want to be the leader, and they're saying stuff, and you're like, this is kind of hollow. You're like, you're not – it just doesn't work, right? It's not real. You have to sort of earn it, too. The other thing that he said that I liked was, it sounded like he was reading the room a little bit. He's like, you know, And he was encouraged by some of his teammates. Said, go ahead, break us down. You're the quarterback. Let's go. I think that's smart by Levis to sort of feel it out before you just go do it. And everybody's like, what's this guy doing? He's a rookie. You know, you read the room a little bit. Because remember, we talked a lot about, that was the thing about Levis before we ever saw him in a Titans uniform, before he was drafted by the Titans. All these reports about what kind of person he is, how he was in the interviews, all the social media stuff, and we were concerned about that. Yeah. So I think he's taking that to heart a little bit, don't you think?
I think he should.
Yeah.
That's his role.
But I like the progress he seems to have made there. I like how he's handled that part of it.
I mean, this is, you know, for whatever, I mean, right now, this is his team. Mm-hmm. This is Will Levis's team.
He's QB1.
I know there's other leaders on that team, but other leaders on that offensive line, offensive side of the ball, but he's your guy. Like, he's your leader moving forward. Now, whether he continues to progress as a player, that's a different story. I believe he will, but right now, this is your guy. He's the leader of he's really the leader of your offense. But again, he's just trying to, he's trying to find his way through all of this. I look back on Joe Flacco's first year where he was just thrust into, he wasn't supposed to be the starting quarterback. It was supposed to be Troy Smith. Troy gets injured. Troy gets sick, and he has to be in the hospital for a bit. And, we didn't think the rookie was going to play, but he had to play. And he slowly learned his, because Joe was a quiet guy anyway, but he slowly learned his leadership style as the season went. We didn't thrust it on him because there were enough leaders in that locker room. We didn't thrust it on him. It just came naturally. And, I can't pinpoint, what moment, it was for him. But as the season went on, as we started to win more games, as he started to trust people, as we started to trust him as a player, his leadership grew. And that's what's happening with Will Levis.
What do we make of Will Levis through five games? Because Sunday was not his best game. Mm-mm. There was a great touchdown drive where it was really pretty much just Will Levis and Derrick Henry moving you down the field. I thought he looked great there. But we talked about it on Monday. Three or four passes that were near interceptions. And if that's not the Carolina Panthers, maybe those are interceptions. So we've seen some kind of holes in his game since that incredible, amazing, couldn't even script a better rookie debut against the Falcons. What do we make of him so far?
I still am in the process, I think, of watching him as defenses learn a little bit about what the Titans are trying to do with him. As Levis learns that, how does he process that? And can he get to another level? And so, okay, they're trying to take away my comfort zone. So what do I have as the next thing? It's like a minor league batter coming up, and his first couple weeks, the scouting report's not out on him, and he shows, man, he can hit a fastball. Wow, look at that rookie hit the fastball. So now let's throw him some off-speed stuff. Let's work him inside a little bit more. The scouting report comes in, and now the good hitters, can they adjust to that? And then all of a sudden they can handle those pitches. Now you got a problem if you're a pitcher. So that's what I hope Levis can get to. As the tendencies are out, those coordinators, D-Maester's like, third and eighth, this is what they like to do. Let's take that away from him. So now what can you do, Levis? Plus, they got to give him a chance. Hopefully they can protect him and give him a chance to succeed.
Yeah, that's first and foremost. You got to protect him in order for him to try to do his job at a high clip. My evaluation of Levis, it's okay. I see some progressions that he's making, but also see him trying to be Superman when you don't need to be. Just throw the ball down, do something else. And this is what I'm afraid of. Not necessarily, him continuing to learn the game and him continuing to, progress and hopefully be that quarterback that the Titans believe he can be. But I'm worried that if they continue to lose, how much hero ball will he try to play?
Yeah.
how many throws will he try to throw in there that he shouldn't throw because he's like, man, I got to make a play. That's the
problem. And you get you in a bad habit.
And it becomes a bad. That's where Tim Kelly comes in. Mm-hmm. That's where Tim Kelly and Charles London need to continuously be in his ear. Like, don't play hero ball. You know, yeah, take what the defense gives you, but you got what you need to do is be calculated in what you're doing. Understand and know what the defense is doing. And there may be a lot of times where you take what the defense gave you, but your risk need to be calculated risk. Like, if D-Hop is down the field, it's just him and another player, but he seems like he covered, that's a calculated risk. I'm going to throw it to D-Hop because more than likely either he's going to catch it or nobody's going to catch it. A calculated risk is not throwing it into double coverage.
Right.
That's not. Especially if it's not a situation where you got a 4th and 10, end of the game, you got to make a play. That's different. But throughout the course of the game, don't play hero ball. Don't. That's what I'm worried about. Not to say he will, but as you start to lose, you start to try to figure out ways to win games on your own.
And that's a lot to take on as a rookie quarterback of it's on me to make a big play. It's on me to get us back in this game. Mm-hmm. It's on me to make that big throw, that big wow kind of throw to win this football game. And he's frankly not getting a whole lot of help around him to win football games. So when we talk about quote-unquote ruining Will Levis, yeah, it's a dramatic word to use, but that's what comes into play.
Yeah, and again, it's up to the coordinator, and the quarterback's coach to make that not happen. And what they – because I looked at – and I don't know why I looked at it today, but I looked at the targets amongst each guy. And this is where the hero ball, I think, may come into play. DeAndre Hopkins has been targeted 83 times. The next closest player, I think, is like 40.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 2-1. And beside that guy.
Makes sense.
Beside that guy, the next guy, I think, is like 20 targets. They got to find a way to help him because the more guys he can depend on, the better he will be as a quarterback. If he feels that this is the only guy that I could throw to, he's going to start playing hero ball if they start losing. You got to get him. And I know Tim Kelly probably is trying to teach him, listen, you got to be able to see the whole field. Because if you don't see the whole field, teams really get a beat on what you're doing. That's why the pass was almost intercepted when he was trying to throw it to D-Hop. You know how many times they ran that play, that little sit-down play?
Mm-hmm.
They run that play all the time.
And his eyes went right
all
to D-Hop.
All the time. Linebacker exactly. Read it perfectly. Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to learn how to, you know, know that there are other guys. D-Hop is your guy, but you can't make it so obvious where now the defense, as the season gets going, now the defense gets a beat on that.
And the defense can say, all right, we'll just double and triple D-Hop.
Exactly.
And then if you want to win the game with Chris Moore and Nick Westbrook-Kikine, no disrespect to them, more power to you. We'll continue the conversation coming up next, and we'll get into your phones, your thoughts on the Titans, Will Levis, what we heard from Mike Vrabel and Levis at the podium. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. And also, the Chase and Big Joe show will be live from the NASCAR Awards tomorrow at the Music City Center, brought to you by Green Trees. That's D-Mace's people at
yes,
the NASCAR Awards.
Yes, I will be I will lead the parade today, so I will be leaving work pretty soon here to lead the parade. I will be the pace car today.
I truly cannot think of a better leader of a NASCAR parade than our very own Derek Mason.
I was told I couldn't keep the car. Damn it.
Dang it. Well, don't go down without a fight, teammates.
Exactly.
That is brought to you by Green Trees Company Dispensary, providing high-quality legal THC products. Learn more at greentreescompany.com.
Jonathan's a home run hitter every single time. And it's also, like, the way that their zone read works, the patience he runs with, the hezzy, the jump cut, and then the press. So I'm not saying, like, Zach Moss, I think, can keep them afloat. But we're talking about a team that's got games left to go on a playoff run. To minimize this is silly. This is a big loss for them.
right, there you go. That was Dan Orlovsky on the Indianapolis Colts loss of Jonathan Taylor, at least here for the next few upcoming weeks. He's undergoing thumb surgery. Per Ian Rappaport, just about an hour or so ago, he's expected to be placed on IR. So no Jonathan Taylor this Sunday. Jonathan Taylor wasn't even really that much of a factor the first time the Titans played the Colts. It was the Zach Moss show. So it's still a the Colts run game is still a concern to me.
Yes, I think that's fair to say, is that they have a good running attack. Mm-hmm. It was Taylor's first game after all of the injury and all of the drama, the soap opera. And so I don't think he was really in great game shape. I think he started to play better. But if you look at the numbers as a whole, I think Zach Moss has been conservatively just as good, if not better, which is always the dilemma about the running backs anyway. You can find another guy is what a lot of teams believe. And so how do you feel if you're the Colts today about signing? They gave in. When it was all said and done, they gave in and they gave him the money. Is that smart?
It hasn't been a bad year for Jonathan Taylor necessarily, but I don't think he's lived up to the money that they're giving him.
Seven games, 4 and 14 yards, but you're married to him for at least a couple of years now with the money you're paying him. And you have Moss.
Right, who has been incredibly productive for you for a fraction of the cost. And remember over the summer when this was the big topic of conversation is the running backs demanding more money, the current market. Jonathan Taylor was kind of the poster child for
that. And he was younger than some of the other guys who got into the cycle that a lot of running backs get into when you get to be 27, 28. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to get that new contract. People are like, well, you're 27, 28. And not going to pay you.
We can find another productive running back.
Right. And history shows that after about 6 years, there is a little bit of decline. Mm-hmm. So teams have not gotten good bang for their buck when they sign those running backs to that next contract. Austin Eckler is in that situation, and you can go on to... Look, how has Dalvin Cook done this year?
Not great.
That's why the Vikings cut him. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon has had a decent year in a tough year for the Bengals, but he's at that age. He took the pay cut, so that's where it goes. And Taylor was seeing that and say, okay, well, pay me now. Mm-hmm. I've got my prime years coming, and it's still – hasn't worked out real well.
If the Titans even saw that whenever Derrick Henry broke his foot in the 2021 season, and I am not minimizing the impact and importance of Derrick Henry, but you brought in Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman, and you were still the number one seed in the AFC.
Right. They gave them suitable rushing stuff.
Yes.
Right? And all that.
It's not saying all that. Derrick Henry.
I do think Derrick Henry is to be commended that he's been worth the money they paid him.
Every single penny.
Now, what happens next year, that's a whole other discussion. They're going to have the Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the Austin Eckler. And Derrick Henry's even a couple years older than that. He'll be 30 next year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a tricky one. Coming attractions. But in the meantime, the whole thing here is the Titans are 4-0 at home. Mm-hmm. When they play well, they're able to make teams more one-dimensional. And they could not do that in Indianapolis, right? Yeah. That was a big loss at the time. Because at the time, you're still thinking, need a road win. This is a team you need to be able to be better than. And they weren't. So here they are with a chance for a rematch. And Indy is still sitting there going, hey, we've won three in a row. They've beaten three middling teams in doing so. If you look at their schedule going forward, it's not that tough. So they're saying you beat the Titans here.
Could be knocking on the door of a playoff spot.
Yes, they're very much in the mix if they can win this game.
Let's get some of your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, anything is on the table. Derrick Henry, no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts this weekend. Will Levis, but Dylan texts in and says, it is absolutely nauseating to me that we're judging and grading a rookie quarterback who is surrounded by mediocrity. It's like trying to evaluate a lone dancer on a shaky stage with flickering lights and a broken sound system. Their skills might be exceptional, but the chaotic environment obscures their true talent. I think we need to be judging Will Levis every single game. We can judge him on a curve and say, well, he doesn't have a great offensive line in front of him. The ball has to come out quick, so the throws aren't going to be perfect. So we can grade on a curve, but that's our job to evaluate Will Levis.
That is part of the job description. Especially for rookies that play, mm-hmm. more often than not, it's because a team is desperate and rebuilding. And even though Levis is not a first-round pick, that's sort of how it's evolved, is they've gotten to the point where out of necessity, he kind of had to go in there with the injury to Tannehill, and they don't have a great team around him. But through the years, the good quarterbacks are able to get through that storm until the team does come up around them.
Joe Burrow, I think, is probably the perfect example of
that. Very good example of that.
And Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer and all of the chaos in his first year.
Somehow he survived. Yeah.
Against all odds.
Only the strong survive. So that's where Levis is. And they have to do as well, as much as they can, to put him in a position to succeed. And that's going to be hard. But this is a game where maybe they're not overwhelmed matchup-wise. They're playing at home. The Colts are not, they're not a juggernaut. So it's a good litmus test.
And I think that it's fair to judge Will Levis's individual throws or decisions in a vacuum. Like, I think that throw to Tajay Spears where he got blown up, that's a bad decision. It doesn't matter what's going on around you or the O-line or the receivers or the coaches, whatever it might be. That's just a bad decision that we can grade him on. He had a beautiful, beautiful pass at DeAndre Hopkins last week. Now we're getting to the point in the season where every game is blurring together. Who did they play last week?
The Panthers.
No.
The year before that was the debacle down in Florida against Jacksonville.
Was that Tampa?
Jacksonville.
Wow. Time flies. But that beautiful...
Tampa and then Jacksonville and then Panthers last
week. Thank you. It was Jacksonville. That beautiful touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. I thought that was a wonderful read and a wonderful throw. But when you're evaluating Will Levis's work as a whole, you have to look at the situation, the environment that he's in.
This is another thing that's a problem with the developmental system in pro football, is instead of playing for the Nashville Sounds or the Milwaukee Admirals, which is what would be a smart way to have Will Levis make these mistakes and develop.
Right.
He's got to develop in the toughest league in the world. That's a messed up thing, but that's how football is.
Wes in Hermitage, Texan, says, if you think that Rand didn't have to give Amy a good resume on DeAndre Hopkins after we traded for Julio, you may be delusional. I know it's not the same, but from Amy's point of view, she could have been against it because of Julio. Rand has to get some credit for that, but so should Vrabel due to his relationship with DeAndre Hopkins. Of course. Of course, sure. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel get credit for that. But ultimately, what it came down to, just based off of my knowledge of the situation and my opinion, DeAndre Hopkins was going to go wherever he got the most money, and that ultimately fell on Amy Adams Strunk. But it is on Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to propose it to Amy Adams Strunk. Say, these are the holes that we have right now. This is what we need. This is why we think DeAndre Hopkins will fill those holes. And it's ultimately up to Amy Adams Strunk to say, yeah, we're willing to be the highest bidder.
I think we can go back to the summer. I mean, how many days, how many weeks did we talk about that process?
They put in the work.
They put in the work to lay the groundwork for him to come here. So you have to give them credit for that as a group. I think that was a good example of collaboration.
Yeah.
I think Carthon and Vrabel, I think that's how the process is supposed to work to get a guy like that. The only question would have been if you didn't have him, where would you have spent that money? And I don't know the answer to that. Like, if you had more money to try to address problems, was there anybody out there anyway? I think you could reasonably say Hopkins, they paid a decent price, but he's been worth it.
He's been worth every single
penny. And these last six games, I hope he stays on the field and is out there, because it gives you a chance to put Levis in a position to succeed.
A young quarterback needs that.
Yes.
A veteran receiver that he can count on.
Especially
Derrick Henry.
Do we know if Burks will even play another game this year?
I have no idea. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Right.
When it comes to Treylon Burks, we're at the point for me, I don't expect anything. I don't. And if you get something from him, great.
All the better.
Yeah. All the better. Coy in Clarksville says, is it sad that as a Titans fan, I'm more excited for March, free agency time or fun coupons time? That is sad. But that's where we're at. That's where we're at. It is draft talk, free agency time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great.
And it is fun in the meantime to have a quarterback that you're watching the growth process.
Absolutely.
It makes it more watchable. Like I'll go back to the Zach Mettenberger year. Marcus Mariota was hurt. I think it was Mariota's first year. Man, that was tough to watch. It was tough because you weren't watching the future. You were just watching a bunch of guys that they were trying to find better players. They didn't have any players.
Yeah.
That's why they picked first.
Right.
When John Robinson took over, that's where he started. Right? They had Mariota, and they had the first pick, and they made the trade with the Rams mm-hmm. to get more picks, and then the process started from there.
I think that is what has made maybe this season just a smidge more palatable for Titans fans is the Will Levis factor of it all. All right, coming up next, I do have a college football thought because we heard from the college football playoff committee last night, and there are several chaos scenarios. One of those chaos scenarios is the SEC being completely left out of the college football playoff, which I know, it sounds crazy, but is there a path to that? We'll discuss that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, this Friday, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting live for the grand opening of a new Dunkin' location in Franklin at 1441 New Highway 96 West. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 6 to 9 a.m. Stop by and have your chance to win lots of great prizes.
Jonathan's a home run hitter every single time. And it's also like the way that their zone read works, the patience he runs with, the hezzy, the jump cut, and then the press. So I'm not sitting like Zach Moss, I think, can keep them afloat. But we're talking about a team that's got games left to go on a playoff run. To minimize this is silly. This is a big loss for them.
All right, there you go. That was Dan Orlovsky on the Indianapolis Colts loss of Jonathan Taylor, at least here for the next few upcoming weeks. He's undergoing thumb surgery. Per Ian Rappaport, just about an hour or so ago, he's expected to be placed on IR. So no Jonathan Taylor this Sunday. Jonathan Taylor wasn't even really that much of a factor the first time the Titans played the Colts. It was the Zach Moss show. So it's still the Colts run game is still a concern to me.
Yes, I think that's fair to say, is that they have a good running attack. Mm-hmm. It was Taylor's first game after all of the injury and all of the drama, the soap opera. And so I don't think he was really in great game shape. I think he started to play better. But if you look at the numbers as a whole, I think Zach Moss has been conservatively just as good, if not better, which is always the dilemma about the running backs anyway. You can find another guy is what a lot of teams believe. And so how do you feel if you're the Colts today about signing? They gave in. When it was all said and done, they gave in and they gave him the money. Is that smart?
It hasn't been a bad year for Jonathan Taylor necessarily, but I don't think that he's lived up to the money that they're giving him.
Yeah. 7 games, 4 and 14 yards, but you're married to him for at least a couple of years now with the money you're paying him. And, remember, you have Moss.
Right, who has been incredibly productive for you for a fraction of the cost. And remember over the summer when this was the big topic of conversation as the running backs demanding more money, the current market, Jonathan Taylor was kind of the poster child for
that. And he was younger than some of the other guys who got into the cycle that a lot of running backs get into when you get to be 27, 28. Mm-hmm. And then it's time to get that new contract. People are like, well, you're 27, 28. And not going to pay you.
We can find another productive running
back. Right. And history shows that after about 6 years, there is a little bit of decline. Mm-hmm. So teams have not gotten good bang for their buck when they sign those running backs to that next contract. Austin Eckler is in that situation, and you can go on to – look, how has Dalvin Cook done this year?
Not great.
That's why the Vikings cut him. Mm-hmm. Joe Mixon has had a decent year in a tough year for the Bengals, but he's at that age. He took the pay cut. So that's where it goes. And Taylor was seeing that and said, okay, well, pay me now. Mm-hmm. I've got my prime years coming. And it still hasn't worked out real well.
The Titans even saw that whenever Derrick Henry broke his foot in the 2021 season. And I am not minimizing the impact and importance of Derrick Henry, but you brought in Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman, and you were still the number one seed in the AFC.
Right. They gave them suitable rushing stuff.
Yes.
Right? And all that.
It's not saying all that. Derrick Henry.
I do think Derrick Henry is to be commended that he's been worth the money that they've paid him.
Every single
penny. Now, what happens next year, that's a whole other discussion. They're going to have the Dalvin Cook. Mm-hmm. They're going to have the Austin Eckler. And Derrick Henry's even a couple years older than that. He'll be 30 next year. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a tricky one. Coming attractions. But in the meantime, the whole thing here is the Titans are 4-0 at home. Mm-hmm. When they play well, they're able to make teams more one-dimensional. And they could not do that in Indianapolis, right? Yeah. That was a big loss at the time. Because at the time, you're still thinking, need a road win. This is a team you need to be able to be better than. And they weren't. So here they are with a chance for a rematch. And Indy is still sitting there going, hey, we've won three in a row. They've beaten three middling teams in doing so. If you look at their schedule going forward, it's not that tough. So they're saying you
and
beat the
could
Titans
be knocking
here.
On the door of a playoff spot.
Yes, they're very much in the mix if they can win this game.
Let's get some of your thoughts on it. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you have a thought, anything is on the table. Derrick Henry, no Jonathan Taylor for the Colts this weekend. Will Levis, but Dylan texts in and says, it is absolutely nauseating to me that we're judging and grading a rookie quarterback who is surrounded by mediocrity. It's like trying to evaluate a lone dancer on a shaky stage with flickering lights and a broken sound system. Their skills might be exceptional, but the chaotic environment obscures their true talent. I think we need to be judging Will Levis every single game. We can judge him on a curve and say, well, he doesn't have a great offensive line in front of him. The ball has to come out quick, so the throws aren't going to be perfect. So we can grade on a curve, but that's our job to evaluate Will Levis.
That is part of the job description. Especially for rookies that play, more often than not, it's because a team is desperate and rebuilding. And even though Levis is not a first-round pick, that's sort of how it's evolved, is they've gotten to the point where, out of necessity, he kind of had to go in there with the injury to Tannehill, and they don't have a great team around him. But through the years, the good quarterbacks are able to get through that storm, or until the team does come up around them.
Joe Burrow, I think, is probably the perfect example of that.
Very good example of that. Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence with Urban Meyer and all of the chaos in his first year.
Somehow he survived. Yeah.
Against all odds.
Only the strong survive. So that's where Levis is. And they have to do as well, as much as they can, to put him in a position to succeed. And that's going to be hard. But this is a game where maybe they're not overwhelmed matchup-wise. They're playing at home. The Colts are not, they're not a juggernaut. So it's a good litmus test.
And I think that it's fair to judge Will Levis's individual throws or decisions in a vacuum. Like, I think that throw to Tajay Spears where he got blown up, that's a bad decision. It doesn't matter what's going on around you or the O-line or the receivers or the coaches, whatever it might be. That's just a bad decision that we can grade him on. They had a beautiful, beautiful pass at DeAndre Hopkins last week. Now we're getting to the point in the season where every game is blurring together. Who did they play last week?
The Panthers.
No.
The year before that was the debacle down in Florida against Jacksonville.
Was that Tampa?
Jacksonville.
Wow. Time flies. But that beautiful...
Tampa and then Jacksonville and then
Jacksonville.
Panthers last
Thank you. It was Jacksonville. That beautiful touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins. I thought that was a wonderful read and a wonderful throw. But when you're evaluating Will Levis's work as a whole, you have to look at the situation, the environment that he's in.
Yeah. This is another thing that's a problem with the developmental system in pro football, is instead of playing for the Nashville Sounds or the Milwaukee Admirals, which is what would be a smart way to have Will Levis make these mistakes and develop.
Right.
He's got to develop in the toughest league in the world. That's a messed up thing, but that's how football is.
Wes in Hermitage, Texan, says, if you think that Rand didn't have to give Amy a good resume on DeAndre Hopkins after we traded for Julio, you may be delusional. I know it's not the same, but from Amy's point of view, she could have been against it because of Julio. Rand has to get some credit for that, but so should Vrabel due to his relationship with DeAndre Hopkins. Of course. Of course, sure. Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel get credit for that. But ultimately, what it came down to, just based off of my knowledge of the situation and my opinion, DeAndre Hopkins was going to go wherever he got the most money, and that ultimately fell on Amy Adams' trunk. But it is on Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel to propose it to Amy Adams' trunk. Say, these are the holes that we have right now. This is what we need. This is why we think DeAndre Hopkins will fill those holes. And it's ultimately up to Amy Adams' trunk to say, yeah, we're willing to be the highest bidder.
I think we can go back to the summer. I mean, how many days, how many weeks did we talk about that process? They put in the work. They put in the work to lay the groundwork for him to come here. So you have to give them credit for that. As a group, I think that was a good example of collaboration.
Yeah.
I think Carthon and Vrabel, I think that's how the system, how the process is supposed to work to get a guy like that. The only question would have been, if you didn't have him, where would you have spent that money? And I don't know the answer to that. Like, if you had more money to try to address problems, was there anybody out there anyway? I think you could reasonably say Hopkins, they paid a decent price, but he's been worth it.
He's been worth every single penny.
And these last six games, I hope he stays on the field and is out there, because it gives you a chance to put Levis in a position to succeed.
A young quarterback needs that.
Yes.
A veteran receiver that he can count on.
Especially
Derrick
Henry. Do we know if Burks will even play another game this year?
I have no idea. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Right.
When it comes to Treylon Burks, we're at the point for me, I don't expect anything. I don't. And if you get something from him, great.
All the better.
Yeah. All the better. Coy in Clarksville says, is it sad that as a Titans fan, I'm more excited for March, free agency time or fun coupons time? That is sad. But that's where we're at.
That's where we're at.
That's where we're at. It is draft talk, free agency time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not great.
And it is fun in the meantime to have a quarterback mm-hmm. that you're watching the growth process.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It makes it more watchable. Like the, I'll go back to the Zach Mettenberger year. Marcus Mariota was hurt. I think it was Mariota's first year. Man, that was tough to watch. It was tough. Because you weren't watching the future. You were just watching a bunch of guys that they were trying to find better players. They didn't have any players.
Yeah.
That's why they picked first.
Right.
When John Robinson took over, that's where he started. Right? They had Mariota, and they had the first pick, and they made the trade with the Rams mm-hmm. to get more picks, and then the process started from there.
I think that is what has made maybe this season just a smidge more palatable for Titans fans is the Will Levis factor of it all. All right, coming up next, I do have a college football thought because we heard from the college football playoff committee last night and there are several chaos scenarios. One of those chaos scenarios is the SEC being completely left out of the college football playoff, which I know, it sounds crazy. But is there a path to that? We'll discuss that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, this Friday, Robbie and Rex Road will be broadcasting live for the grand opening of a new Dunkin' location in Franklin at 1441 New Highway 96 West. 102.5 The Game will be on site from 6 to 9 a.m. Stop by and have your chance to win lots of great prizes.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.